Hello, I'm Bruce King, and the aim of this presentation is to help you to achieve anything and everything you want in your career and your personal life. I should also point out that you won't be seeing me live presenting on this video. Because of the lockdown and COVID-19, my recording studios are closed. So I've put this presentation together at my home with none of my usual equipment or technical support staff. So excuse me if there's an occasional mistake or timing error or background noise. And I've recorded it in this format so you can stop it whenever you need to and take notes or screenshots of the most important information. So here we go. What I'm about to share with you is based on the most popular session from my one-day conference titled How to Double Your Sales. I presented this at the Institute of Directors for 21 consecutive years and to sell out audiences every time. But I do want to make this really clear. This is not only about increasing your sales. You can use these strategies to achieve absolutely anything you want to achieve. The title of that session and this presentation is How to Unleash the Power of the Mind. I'm going to start by showing you just a few of the most important aspects of how the brain works and which are relevant to how you can use it to help you accomplish extraordinary success. And following that, precisely how to unleash that power to accomplish your goals. Albert Einstein is one of many people I admire and am inspired by, and probably my favourite. And Albert said, success is 80% attitude and 20% skills. This is a representation of the human brain. Your attitude is programmed into it. James Watson, who won the Nobel Prize for the discovery of DNA, described it as the most complex structure in the universe. My previous career, before I got into sales, was in alternative medicine. Complementary medicine, as it's known nowadays. I qualified as a nutritionist and as an acupuncturist, and I was also involved in some rather more esoteric therapies, particularly how we could use the power of the brain to help people heal themselves. I applied that same knowledge and continued to study it when I made my career change into sales. That was necessary because it was very hard to make a living back then in alternative medicine. In fact, it would probably have been easier to make a living as a witch doctor. But I know that the knowledge I had of how the brain works was totally responsible for the extraordinary success I had in sales. And I still incorporate many of those strategies into much of my coaching when it's appropriate to do so. But most of what I learned back then was based on the theories of many famous researchers, philosophers and psychologists with great ideas, but limited, in fact, almost no scientific proof. Our knowledge of how the brain works only really expanded massively in the last 15 years and especially in the last 5. And most of the theories those great philosophers and psychologists thought were true have been proven to be correct. That came about predominantly because of the invention of functioning magnetic resonance imaging. It enables us to understand precisely what goes on in many areas of the brain and how it functions. So what I present to you today has been scientifically proven beyond doubt. Having said that, there's still a very long way to go, and there are tens of thousands of scientists working on how the brain works right now, and a new study is released approximately every 3 hours. I like to compare our brains to a computer, although they function very differently. Nevertheless, I call it our necktop computer. The screen of your computer represents your conscious mind. The conscious mind handles just a few pieces of information at a time and is what you are conscious of at any given time. And the conscious mind uses a maximum of 1% of our brain power. The information could be the words or sounds you're hearing and the words you say to yourself when you're thinking. It could be what you're looking at and the pictures you create in your mind when you're thinking and when other people are speaking to you. It could be the subject you're writing an email about or anything whatsoever you are consciously thinking about. Then there's the subconscious or unconscious mind, which is like the hard drive on your computer. 99% of what's going on in your brain takes place there and it happens automatically. Everything that ever is allowed into the conscious mind, your computer screen, is stored in the unconscious mind or hard drive. Everything from the day you were born. The only difference between your brain and the computer is you don't need to press a save button to store it. It happens automatically and it's out of your control. As these thoughts build up in your unconscious mind, they create neural pathways or nerve chains. So whenever your conscious mind receives any piece of information, it automatically links through a neural pathway to a previous experience stored in your unconscious mind that relates to that particular item of information, or it starts a new neural pathway. The more times that specific experience is repeated, the stronger the neural pathway becomes and the faster and more automatic is your response. For example, if I ask you what 7 times 7 is, you'll almost immediately have told me the answer is 49. You didn't have to work it out, you just knew the answer because of the neural pathway that was established, possibly when you had to repeat your 7 times table over and over at school. So it is with every thought you have, with every word you read or hear, and every picture you see or create in your mind, and indeed every feeling you have. They become automatic processes. So much so that according to Professor Chris Frith, one of the world's most renowned experts on the human brain, free will is an illusion. Because before we consciously decide to do anything, our unconscious mind has already made the decision on what we are going to do. In fact, at least 99% of everything we think happens on an unconscious level. In other words, we're all programmed rather like robots. And that's a big problem, because when you open a newspaper or magazine and switch on the radio or TV, what you will read, hear and see is mainly bad news. And much of this is stored in the unconscious mind. When you speak with friends and acquaintances, much of what they say is in the form of complaints about their lives, their jobs or businesses, their relationships and their health. As a result, the vast majority of people have mainly negative experiences and store negative thoughts in their brains. In fact, most people have only one positive experience stored compared to at least 400 negative experiences. You could therefore summarize this by saying that most people are programmed to be negative, and worse still, possibly even programmed to fail. And it gets worse. Einstein said, the definition of insanity is to carry on doing things the way we've always done them and expect to get different results. On the basis that we're programmed rather like robots and programmed to do the same things over and over, we could therefore even be described as insane. But we are programmed to keep doing the same things over and over. Which is why I know from many years of experience that no matter how successful you've been already, most people have not even scratched the surface of what they are really capable of. And before I show you how to achieve far greater success and to further explain Professor Chris Frith's theories, let's take a closer look at how the brain works, which will also give you a better understanding of how you can unleash the power of yours. The brain contains approximately 90 billion nerve cells, scientific name neurons. That's more than the number of stars in our galaxy. Each neuron is connected to 100,000 other neurons, making chains of neural pathways. And there are something in the region of 8 trillion of these, all interconnected and linked to your conscious mind whenever you need to access the information they carry and compute. The brain actually generates more electrical impulses in any moment of time than all the mobile telephones in the world combined. So that's a lot of activity going on in there. And it needs some kind of regulatory system to help control it. And one of them is the reticular activating system, usually shortened to the RAS, which is located about here in your brain. The challenge is that the human sensory system, that's your entire body, its sense organs and other organs, send around 11 million bits of information a second to the brain. But the conscious mind can only handle between 10 and 40 bits a second. If it were all allowed in, it's almost certain you would go insane trying to consciously handle it all. Try having 20 children all asking you different questions and demanding an answer immediately whilst you're trying to compose and type an email, and you'll understand what I mean. To overcome this problem, the RAS acts as a filter of information. That information which is needed by your conscious mind to help you deal with what you are consciously working on at the time is allowed into your conscious mind by your RAS. That which it believes is unimportant is screened out entirely. As a way of illustrating this point, stop this video for a moment, look around wherever you are and count how many things you can see coloured red. Do that now. Stop the video and count how many red things you can see. Now tell me how many things you saw coloured green. The answer, I know, is none. Your conscious mind sent a message to your brain to search for red things. Although your eyes probably did see many items coloured green, they didn't register. The RAS filtered them out to avoid confusing you with information you did not need. That's how it works. So the RAS is associated with filtering information and helping you to focus. The RAS also cannot tell the difference between imagination and reality. So, for example, if you imagine yourself winning a competition and feeling great, the RAS will send messages to other parts of your body telling them to create that great feeling for you. I'll prove this to you in a moment. And the RAS does not understand negative instructions. So, for example, if your partner were to tell you, "Don't forget the milk on the way home," what your brain will hear is "forget the milk," and you probably will forget it. If your partner really wants you to bring home milk, they need to say, "remember to get milk on your way home." And there's one other important part of the brain I want to tell you about, and that's the amygdala. It's an almond-shaped mass of cells located deep within the temporal lobes of the brain, and there's one in each hemisphere of the brain. It's a structure that's involved in many of our emotions, such as fear, anger, and pleasure. The amygdala is also responsible for determining what memories are stored and where the memories are stored in the brain. And the most important point to note is that you can program the amygdala to achieve your goals. It can be programmed for success and failure. I'll show you a little more about that later. And there's one other system I want to mention, and that's the heart-brain connection. For many years, it had been assumed by scientists that the heart was nothing more than a pump receiving messages from the brain to keep pumping. More recent scientific research has shown that the heart does in fact send far more information to the brain than the brain sends to the heart. It has its own nervous system. It influences emotional processing. In other words, how we respond emotionally to information, and remember that most decisions are made on an emotional basis. And it has many other cognitive functions such as focus, memory, and problem solving. Scientists have termed this the heart brain. It has its own intelligence. And it amazes me why science takes so long to catch up with what to many of us is just plain common sense, or maybe they just never bothered. But ask yourself this: how many times have you made a decision based on how your heart felt about the situation? And I read a scientific paper quite recently that scientists think there may also be a type of brain in our guts. And we all know about gut feeling. So, moving on. A simple demonstration of how you can prove the power of the mind to influence your body and your mental reactions. If I were doing this on stage, I'd ask for up to 8 volunteers to help me with this exercise, and then I'd get the entire audience to join in. They're amazed at what happens. If you want to watch me do this with just one person on the stage, here's the link. Pause the video or take a screenshot and write it down and go visit it later, and you can actually see the demo. But as we can't do this here today together, I created another version just for this video. You need someone to help you with this, so if they're not in the room with you right now, stop the recording and go find someone. Put the finger and thumb of either hand together like this. Then think of something that has not gone well for you, any situation, or just say to yourself a few times, "I feel bad, I feel bad, I feel bad." And then ask your helper to use all their strength and pull your finger and thumb apart. And do that 3 times. And okay, no doubt, they achieved that quite easily. Next, I want you to imagine that your finger and thumb are glued together and absolutely cannot be separated. And again, say to yourself a few times, "I feel bad." But also keep the picture in your mind that the finger and thumb are joined together rigidly. And ask your helper to try and pull them apart again. I'm 100% certain they were unable to separate them. So what does this prove? If I were doing this with a big audience, it works with everyone. the effect is instant, as it was with you. You have no control until you consciously decide to take control. And it also proves that the mind cannot tell the difference between imagination and reality, because your finger and thumb were most definitely not glued together. So, that's some of the science associated with your brain and goal achievement. So let's move on to how to unleash the power of your mind, because it is so incredibly powerful and so easy to do when you know how. There's an old Zen proverb which says, if we're facing in the right direction, all we have to do is keep on walking. And if you put this into practice, you will, without question, be going in the right direction. So let me walk you through this. Phase one, which should be done simultaneously with phase two, is to eliminate our negative thoughts until we no longer have them. You should use one or more of these strategies. Using them all is just not necessary, but test them all and choose the one, two, or three that work best for you. So number one, do not listen to your crap. Or more politely, get rid of your limiting beliefs. Almost everyone has them. A limiting belief is a thought that prevents you from accepting your full potential. These are the I'm not good enough thoughts. The consequences of accepting your limiting beliefs rather than challenging them are severe. You end up not achieving what you want. These are just some of them you may have. Sometimes you'll be thinking, I can't do that. This is difficult. This is not going to work. They won't buy. We're too expensive. And there are so many more, and you'll know what they are when they pop into your mind. Whatever they are, stop it! Stop it. You have to fight them, and it's a battle. So when you think, I can't do that, say several times, preferably out loud and with power, I can do that, I can do that, I can do that. And when you hear yourself thinking, this is difficult, say, this is easy, this is easy. And when you think this is not going to work, say, this will work, this will work, this will work. And when you think they won't buy, they will buy. And when you hear we're too expensive, we're great value for money, we're great value for money. Fight every negative thought with a positive one. Either you and your positive thought will win, or the negative thought is going to win. Make sure it's you. Here's another way to overcome limiting beliefs. Snap out of it. I've taught this to so many people, including some top athletes. And if you meet anyone who has an elastic band around their wrist, they'll probably have attended one of my masterclasses or private coaching, and they're using this strategy too. You get a large elastic band, large enough that it hangs a little loosely around your wrist. And any time you express a limiting belief like, I can't do that, or this is difficult, or this is not going to work, or whatever it might be, you stretch out the elastic band and release it. And it hurts. And very quickly, your unconscious mind associates negative thoughts with a painful experience and stops you having those thoughts. I hope you agree it's worth a little pain to stop having them. Next, fire the voice. I use this technique when people I coach are having a serious challenge with the voice in their head. You know that voice, it has very negative conversations with you from time to time. So here's what to do. Sit upright at a desk or table. Create a picture of what you believe your little voice in your head looks like as a person. When you've created that picture in your mind, shrink the image down to about 6 centimeters high. Take it out of your head and imagine it standing on your desk or table looking up at you. Just by reducing it in size and taking it out of your head reduces its effectiveness massively. Now you give him or her a good talking to. It could go something like this. Voice, I have listened to your negative messages for long enough now. Most of them are complete and utter nonsense, and you're wasting your time and my time. I shall not be listening to you ever again. So I suggest you get out of my head altogether and do not ever bother me again. I have great things to achieve and you have no contribution to make. Go away. And then imagine it just vanishing. It may take a few of these conversations before the voice finally gets the message and does go away permanently, but make no mistake about it, it will. The next technique is a simple reality check. The key point here is that when you ask yourself a question, the brain has to answer that question. It's programmed to do that. It searches through all the neural pathways it needs to in order to come up with an answer. So you could ask yourself, how long am I going to be anxious about this? The answer you're likely to get is not any longer. Problem solved. And always ask yourself a question rather than make a statement. So instead of saying to yourself, I can't do this, ask yourself, how can I do this? You'll always get the answer because the correct answer is always stored somewhere in your brain. And finally, if you're having a really big challenge with a negative thought, analyze the thought. Get a pen and paper and write down the thought. Then write down an answer to the following questions and take your time. You will get a positive result. Ask yourself, where did it come from? Who said so? What proof do I have this thought is absolutely correct? Why is it not true? And how will I deal with this issue so I get a positive result? It's such a simple and such a powerful exercise. Okay, now it's time to move on to phase two. How to program your mind for great success. And as I said earlier, phase one and phase two should be carried out simultaneously. And back to Einstein again. He said, the world as we have created it is a process of our thinking. It cannot be changed without changing our thinking. Every single thing you ever do and everything you say is preceded by a thought. Sometimes they're conscious thoughts, other times they're unconscious thoughts that have been programmed into your mind and happen automatically. But thoughts always precede actions. Over time, the accumulation of these thoughts and beliefs become your reality, your world. And as we've already discussed, worse still is that very often indeed they are not the most positive thoughts and beliefs. And so many people settle for a life of boredom, mediocrity and failure. So to overcome this and become as successful as you wish, you need a BHAG, a big, hairy, audacious goal, BHAG, something exciting that gets you up early, keeps you motivated all day, and maybe up half the night working on it or thinking about it. But, and it's a big but, goal setting is pointless without a commitment to achieving the BHAG, the goal. My number one rule when working with my coaching clients is therefore this: do not set a goal or goals you are not totally committed to achieving. If you cannot make that commitment, I will not work with you. So my advice to you is this: if you're not going to commit to achieving your goal or goals, there's little point in watching the rest of the video. And if you are in sales, double your sales would be a great BHAG. But it can be absolutely anything you choose. You just have to have one, at least one. And keeping to the theme of double your sales, just as an example, you need to create a vision board. Purchase a large cork notice board measuring about 90 centimetres by 60 centimetres and fix it to a wall somewhere where you'll come across it frequently. Could be your office wall, a wall in your home office or den, in your kitchen or living room. It doesn't matter where, just so long as you'll see it frequently. Put together a collection of pictures or photographs which represent how your life will be when you have achieved your goals and pin them to your board. For example, a picture of your new home, your new boat, your new office, your planned holiday, destinations, gifts to others, etc. You may also want to make brief notes on the pictures to make them more personal to you, and you can add more pictures to your board as you get more excited about your goal and how your life is changing. Look at your board frequently to remind your conscious and unconscious mind what it is that you need help and inspiration in achieving. Take a photograph of your board with your cell phone. Keep it with you and look at it frequently to remind you of what you have to look forward to when you have achieved your goal. One thing I can tell you for absolute certainty is that everything that ever appeared on any of my vision boards became a reality and always will. Next, you need an affirmation. An affirmation is a scientifically proven effective form of programming the mind through a process of auto-suggestion. An affirmation is a statement you repeat over and over to yourself with feeling and emotion. It's a statement telling yourself you have already achieved your goals. It can be based on your BHAG, or you can use something as simple and incredibly effective as this: I am success. And say it out loud and with feeling and emotion at least 10 times, at least twice a day. I am success. I am success. I am success. And the effect of this is to program your conscious and your unconscious mind to assist you in turning that statement into a reality. What you'll find is that the effect on you is almost instantaneous and gets more powerful every time you say it. And next is visualization. And let's start with how to do it. And I'll explain why it's so powerful and works so well after this. Find a quiet place where you're not going to be disturbed for 15 to 20 minutes. This could be a room in your home, a spare office at your place of work, or your car. I often carry this out in my car because I feel it's a very private space, almost like a cocoon. I can park up anywhere where it's quiet, turn off my cell phone, and I know I will not be disturbed. Then I want you to close your eyes and for just 3 minutes, relax. Place your hand over your heart and focus on breathing deeply and listening to and feeling the breath going in and out of your body. You will feel very relaxed by the end of those 3 minutes. Next, and for the following 12 to 15 minutes, I want you to visualize in as much detail as possible precisely how your life will be if you have already achieved your goals. I want you to see the pictures you associate with having achieved your goals. Those pictures might be you sitting in a much more luxury car or a larger office, seeing your bank statement with a very healthy balance on it, living in a new home or sitting on a beach in Barbados. Whatever the pictures are that you associate with having achieved your goals, see those pictures clearly and in the greatest of detail. I also want you to hear the words and sounds associated with those pictures. It could be the sound of the exhaust of the engine of your new car. It could be the sound of people clapping and congratulating you on your large bonus and promotion. It could be the sound of the waves lapping the beach in Barbados. Whatever the words and sounds are, I want you to hear them in your mind. And simultaneously, with the sounds and the pictures, I want you to get in touch with your feelings. I want you to feel as you would feel if you had already achieved your goals and were experiencing everything that went with it. Whenever you carry out this exercise, you may find that your mind tends to drift a little and you start thinking about other things. That's perfectly normal and nothing to be concerned about. As soon as you notice you've done this, just go back to the exercise and there's no need to make up for time you lost when your mind did drift. Carry out these exercises every single day, at least once a day, preferably twice, until you have achieved your goals. Most people tell me they start to see quite extraordinary results within just a few days, and sometimes even within a few minutes. So let's look at why it works so very well. First of all, there's the effect on you. And the key to this is the fact that the mind cannot tell the difference between imagination and reality. I hopefully proved that to you already. So when you put a totally clear vision into your brain, that is your thoughts in the form of pictures, words and emotions, the brain needs the unconscious pictures, words and feelings to be consistent with your outer reality. And so it sorts through all the information it has stored and it feeds your conscious mind the relevant information you need to make it a reality. And it's just so powerful the way it does it. The second reason visualization works so well is the effect it has on others. And this is rather more complex and perhaps a little more controversial for some people. Volumes have been written about this, especially in the last few years with the increased interest and research in the field of quantum physics. My aim is to keep the explanation as simple as possible and at the same time give you sufficient understanding that you will really want to put visualization to work for you right away. Albert Einstein said concerning matter, we have been all wrong. What we have called matter is energy whose vibration has been so lowered as to be perceptible to the senses. There is no matter. When faced with a brick wall blocking your way, you may find that statement hard to believe. But the fact is that a brick wall is nothing more than the constituents of a brick's atoms vibrating, but vibrating at such a slow speed and packed so closely together that to us they feel solid and immovable and have a fixed volume and shape. All apparently solid matter is in fact nothing but energy vibrating at a massively reduced speed compared to other forms of energy. Different apparently solid matter vibrates at different speeds. As an example, most wood is naturally softer than brick, and therefore its atoms are vibrating somewhat faster than brick atoms and are not quite as densely packed together. Liquid particles vibrate faster than those of apparently solid matter. They're more flexible and able to conform to the shape of their container. They're able to retain a less constant volume and are categorized as fluid due to their ability to flow freely. And gas particles vibrate even faster. They can expand to occupy whatever volume is available, be it a small glass container, a room, or a huge stadium. And they can also escape from any openings in any container. Everything is energy. Everything we can see, hear, touch, taste and smell is made of different wavelengths vibrating at different frequencies. Our brain acts like a translator and has the ability to interpret these frequencies into what we perceive to be our physical reality. And here's the biggie. Our thoughts have energy too. If a thought makes you feel good, if it's a positive thought, it is vibrating at a high frequency. If a thought makes you feel bad, if it's a negative thought, it's vibrating at a lower frequency. And when you have either, you transmit them. Other people can pick up on them subconsciously, and if you put out positive thoughts with positive energy, others who can help you will be attracted to you. Put out negative ones and you'll attract a lot of negative people to you. They're everywhere. Scientists have not yet discovered precisely how this works, but they certainly know it does, and the amount of evidence supporting this is massive. Here's an example. Picture this possibly familiar scene. You're driving along in your car. In the way we sometimes do, where we're almost on autopilot, or you've been sitting quietly somewhere relaxed and your mind is just drifting, and suddenly somebody's face or name just pops into your mind. Within a short while of that happening, you receive a telephone call from that very person and you say, how strange, I was just thinking about you. Or you telephone them and they say the same thing. Has that ever happened to you? I'm pretty sure it has. And when I ask an audience of 1,000 people that question, almost every hand goes up. When I then ask them if it's happened several times, every hand goes up again. This is not coincidence. This is you or they communicating thoughts and attracting people through these energy fields. And it will happen no matter what you want to accomplish. you will attract others who can help you, many of them likely to be total strangers. So get into the habit of visualization and putting those thoughts out there. And on the subject of habits, change some, especially the bad ones. Change some words you say, because we need to be in a positive mode most, if not all, the time. Don't use the word "I'll try." They're associated in most people's minds with failure. That started at a very early age, maybe at school, maybe you had "must try harder" on your school report. How about "I'm sorry to bother you, but" when you call someone? In their minds, starting with "I'm sorry" prepares them to expect you have or are going to do something wrong. "Bother" associates with other times they've been bothered. And then but you're going to do it anyway. That's a real slap in their face. It's a terrible way to start a conversation. And how about "no problem" when someone thanks you for doing something? Putting the word "problem" in their conscious mind immediately links to a whole bunch of other problems they have in their unconscious mind. It makes them feel bad. Why would you ever want to leave someone thinking about problems? And here's another habit to change. Change the words you read. There's not a lot of good news or inspiration in most newspapers, so read material you will learn from and grow from. Books, magazines, white papers on your business sector, your personal interests, your gold. Read life stories of super achievers. The most successful people I know are great readers and continuous learners. The late, great Jim Rohn, pictured here, a philosopher and hugely successful businessman, said, "Losers have the biggest TV screens and winners have the biggest libraries." And on the subject of TV screens, change what you watch. Most TV is toxic. Nothing but bad news and bad experiences. So change what you watch. Of course, it's okay to watch a great movie from time to time, or your favourite soap if you have one. And it's so much better to watch TED Talks and some of the great instructional and inspirational videos on YouTube. And saturate your mind with positive, great information, not poison. Okay. So I've shared a lot of information and strategies with you, and it might seem like information overload and could be taking up a lot of your time. So let me make this as easy as possible for you. Here's the plan, and it starts every day with, drum roll, "Start your day my magic way." This is a strategy I adopted for myself way over 15 years ago, and is what I've taught many thousands of people to do since then. It changed my life, and it changed their lives too. I call it my magic hour. If you really want to make it easier to achieve your goals and change your life, start your day my magic way. No matter what time you get up now, make it 1 hour earlier. You'll soon get used to it. In fact, you will get to love it when you start to experience the impact it has on your life, and fast. And this is what you do in your magic hour. On awakening, drink a glass of water to rehydrate your body and especially your brain, and follow this with a cup of tea or coffee. Then exercise strenuously for 5 to 10 minutes, even if you're going to the gym later. This floods the body with serotonin, dopamine, and other naturally occurring stimulating chemicals in your body. Next, carry out your visualization exercise for approximately 15 minutes. Then, in the first week, revise this presentation for 25 minutes. And when you understand it and remember it all, move on to reading an inspiring book, watching TED videos, whatever else that inspires you for 25 minutes. And finally, repeat your affirmation out loud with power and emotion. It takes approximately 28 days for something to become a habit. Do this for 28 days. Experience the magic for yourself, and you will want to continue this for the rest of your journey to success and beyond. And one final quote from Albert. There are only two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle. The other is as though everything is a miracle. So go create some miracles. Thanks for watching, and you may want to watch it several more times. We rarely remember all we should first time around. My very best wishes to you for your great success, whatever success means to you. And no doubt you'll be seeing me or hearing from me somewhere, sometime soon.